Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Albion, Michigan, and earned a BS in nursing from Wayne State University and an MS in clinical research design and statistical analysis from the University of Michigan School of Public Health. In 2007, he founded North Star Reach, which offers life-changing camp experiences for children with serious health challenges and their families. He believes that the hospital cures and the camp heals. His name, Doug Armstrong. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Doug Armstrong, the founder and CEO of North Star Reach. Doug, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thanks, Jack. Great to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Certainly. Pretty typical childhood. I spent the first few years in Ann Arbor, and we moved to Albion when I was entering the third grade, and I really kind of thought life had ended. All my friends stayed in Ann Arbor. I was in a small town. Looking back, that small town afforded me so many opportunities that I never would have had in a bigger city, and cherished that time. My father was a professor, taught chemistry at Albion College. My mom's a pharmacist, and worked managing a chain of drugstores, and so the science piece came pretty naturally to me.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
I think from dad, it was be prepared, be able to research, and be ready for whatever challenges you had. As a professor, I saw him all the time making his lessons plans and, you know, sort of working through things ahead of time. My mom was a pharmacist in the 60s and 70s at a time when not a lot of women were working, and especially in professional careers like that. So I learned from her sort of the importance of being treated equally and being respected for what you do, and saw her, you know, strength as she navigated through that career.
For all of us, we look back, and there were a couple of episodes or experiences as a kid that really formed our life. We didn't know it at the time. And you went to camp as a young kid.
I was very fortunate to experience a number of different camps as a child. Church camps, academic camps, sports camps. And each of those opportunities really helped me develop some foundational skills that I think served me so well as an adult. How to make friends, how to be comfortable speaking in front of a group, how to be independent, how to try new things and be comfortable in a brand new environment with new people around and just learn to get to know people better.
How was it, Doug, you decided to go into nursing?
I'd always been interested in medicine. I started volunteering at our local hospital when I was 13. In the Candy Striper and Red Vest program, I worked in the radiology department. I worked on the floors helping take care of patients. At 16, I started volunteering for our local ambulance service as a dispatcher. At 17, I became an EMT and worked for the transport side of the ambulance service. So really taking care of people, volunteering, being involved in the community, those were all things that were important to me and also attributes and values that I learned from my parents.
In 1989 and 1990, you traveled and performed with Up With People in 14 countries and 38 states. Talk about that two-year chapter.
Well, you know, that was started as sort of a six-month break between college and whatever was next for me, and it turned into 2 years of amazing experiences. We traveled with 150 young people from 25 different countries as a group for a whole year at a time. And we would go every 3-4 days and move from city to city, stay with a new family in each city, learn the culture, learn the city, get involved in community service to give back to the community, and then perform a 2-hour musical show that really was about building understanding between different cultures and different people, and learned that when you strip away language, religion, race, political beliefs, any of those things, at the core, we're all people. And I learned such a deep appreciation for everything that people had to offer, and became blind to sort of things that people focus on that they try to use to make us seem different.
Was there one or two cities or countries that really stood out?
You know, I have to say that traveling in 1989 when Tiananmen Square happened in China, but to be in Germany on the East German border 3 days before the wall came down, we traveled up to Denmark. The wall came down. We traveled back to that same community where 3 days earlier, armed guards stood on the borders ready to, you know, stop anyone who tried to cross. Were in fact cutting holes in the fence and assisting East Germans into West Germany. Something I'll never forget. My family happened to have planned a visit to our group for that same time because it was around Thanksgiving time in November of 1989, and we were able to spend Thanksgiving Day in East Germany and shipped small pieces out of the wall, and I still have those at home with the graffiti on them of what was the Berlin Wall.
As you looked at the East German people, what did their faces tell you?
I think it was two different stories. When we saw them before the wall came down, it was despair. It was sort of hollowness. And a week later, it was disbelief. It was joy. It was a reunion. Many of them were getting to see family members they hadn't seen in 40 years since the wall was built. I happened to also be back in Germany in the fall of 1990 when East and West German came back together. And that was another sort of pivotal time when we got to see celebration and 3 days of East and West coming together.
And no doubt a little bit of beer, too. We're talking to Doug Armstrong. When we come back, we'll ask him about his chapter of being the clinical research director at the U of M Transplant Center. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Doug Armstrong. And Doug, from 1991 through 2007, you were first a nurse and then the clinical research director at the U of M Transplant Center. Please.
That was an amazing time. Organ transplantation to me is still magical, that you can take an organ from a brain dead or deceased person, transplant that into someone whose organs are failing, and give them a whole second chance at life. And I just really value being a part of that whole experience and performing multiple roles in support of transplantation and all that it has to offer.
All right, you're very successful. You got a great life. And then you decide in 2007 to incorporate North Star Reach. What is North Star Reach?
North Star Reach is really a chance to offer a permanent home to children with serious health challenges so that they can be able to take advantage of all of those wonderful summer camp experiences that I had as a child and that so many children in the Michigan area are able to take advantage of. And without having a specialized facility really designed from the ground up, having a health center capable of delivering complex medical care, and having a great accomplished staff familiar with the medical conditions these kids have, it's impossible for these kids to go to camp. And this really was built on the backs of a program that another nurse and I, a colleague of mine, started in 1997, which was taking organ transplant kids to camp for 1 week each summer. And we just did that on a volunteer basis. We rented camps and we dealt with all the barriers and challenges and logistical nightmares that implementing a program of this complexity for 1 week takes. And to take it to the next level, it really needed to required the development of a permanent home.
All right. It's 2007. You and your wife, Joan, have just had a son. You quit your job. It's a good paying job. Joan's in-laws probably said, what's going on here? You talk about impossible. In your wildest dreams, how did you ever get the idea and decide, I could do this? You had no money, Doug. You had no land. You had no experience in this. You had nothing.
I had a dream. I had a really big dream. And I had the, I call it persistence. My mom used to call it stubbornness, that I've always had, that this was a problem that needed a solution, and that by trusting in myself, by sharing and telling this story, by trusting in God, that we would find a way to make camp happen. And all along the way, I had people telling me, when is this going to happen? Or are you sure you can really do this? And I never wavered. I said, absolutely. I can't tell you when, because it's relying on so many other factors. But I was determined not to stop until we had a camp.
Why the name North Star Reach?
That was a beautiful journey that involved our board of directors, our longtime volunteers at camp, our camp for families and campers, and just other committed volunteers to the organization around what is it we're going to stand for on behalf of these children. And we went through an whole exercise of documenting the words that were really important to us, and the independence, the self-esteem, all the magical things that the camp provides. And I've always been interested in the stars and astronomy and the ethereal world. And the North Star has always been a guiding force for centuries for sailors and navigators. And we really wanted something aspirational that people could reach for. And camp is really about reaching beyond your limitations and reaching for possibilities. And so putting it all together, we really created something that was unique, wouldn't be confused with anything else that was out there, and gave everyone who came to camp, regardless of what capacity or what direction they were looking at, a way to fit in.
The camp, the physical camp, is in Pinckney, Michigan. Tell us about the camp.
The property that we have access to is just phenomenal. It's a peninsula of land, 105 acres. It's surrounded by two large lakes with a channel that connects them. So you almost feel like you're on an island once you get on camp. It's rolling hills. It's a hardwood forest. It feels like you're up north, yet you're 20 minutes from a world-class medical center in Ann Arbor. And we built more than 20 buildings, a health center, cabins, a dining hall, an arts and crafts building, a sports building, areas for archery, swimming pools, a beach, boating, an accessible treehouse, and really providing all of the typical summer camp experiences adapted in a way to be completely barrier-free for these kids. We don't charge them anything to come to camp, take away the financial barrier. We have medical staff able to handle their complex medical needs, so we take away any medical barriers. Physically, everything's accessible. And socially, we provide a really safe environment for these kids to finally just be kids, feel normal, and not be at all self-conscious of any limitations that they may have.
Speaking of not charging the kids anything, U of M actually owns this camp. It was built in the 20s. What do they charge you each year?
Well, they were anticipating a sale to a developer to build condominiums. And when shown the camp idea, the vision, the plan, and the need for this, they actually walked away from that real estate deal, and we secured the land for $1 a year for 50 years.
You've got 300 volunteers. 17 year-round staff, 10 seasonal staff. The camps run from June. Actually, tomorrow is the last day of this season camp. You've got 5 week-long camps, 7 weekend family camps. Talk about some of these camps, please.
Absolutely. The summer camp sessions are pretty easy to understand the value. We take kids who are normally, in their peer groups, outliers. They have physical disfigurements. They have noticeable limitations. They take medications. They miss big chunks of school. They're not the same as their peers. They come to camp and they find out that everything that makes them different from all of their friends is what makes them the same as everybody else in the room. They've never had that experience before, to feel normal and to be able to really take their medical issues, put them in the back seat, and focus on being a kid, going fishing, going boating, swimming, getting up in the trees in the treehouse. Similarly, family camps are an opportunity for the whole family to come to camp. Parents get a chance to meet other parents who've gone through the same challenges. Siblings meet other siblings. And it really gives everyone in the family an opportunity to meet a peer who knows exactly what they've gone through. And that becomes a great coping mechanism that exists well beyond that short time that they're together. And when they're having a bad day, they pick up the phone, they get on Facebook, they reach out and know that they have someone across town, across the state, even in surrounding states, who can understand what they're going through and offer support.
If you want to learn more, www.northstarreach.org. 1,000 campers, including their families, each year, ages 7 to 15. You've got to raise $2.6 million a year. How do you do that?
You know, I think it's a powerful story to tell. And I think that getting people out to camp and get it to a chance to meet these kids and just appreciate their resilience, to see them in action, to understand what their journey's been like and the role that camp plays in transforming their lives. Of course, volunteering at camp is a great way to see it as well, because volunteers' lives are changed in exactly the same ways the campers' lives are transformed. You can't be a part of this process without taking something away.
We're talking to Doug Armstrong, and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Doug Armstrong, the founder and CEO of North Star Reach. Doug, you actually have 4 more family weekend camps coming up.
Absolutely. Coming up this fall. We start in late September with a camp in partnership with Dance Marathon at the University of Michigan. And those are students who have, for a number of years, danced and stood on their feet for 24 hours once a year to raise money for children with serious rehabilitation issues. And so they're children who are in wheelchairs and have other mobility issues. And they raise money for those kids. And we bring those families together at camp. We have an organ transplant family camp. We have a heart and cardiology related family camp. And we're going to launch a brand new family camp this fall for children with PKU disorder, which is a metabolic disease that's fairly rare.
If you want to learn more, www.northstarreach.org. Doug, how do the campers' conversations amongst themselves change day by day?
I think you've asked a really interesting question, and one that I've witnessed multiple times over the last 20 years we've been taking kids to camp. And what we see is that when they first arrive at camp, they are in disbelief that all of the children around them have shared this similar journey. And so they want to ask questions. Hey, do you take that blue pill? Do you have that same scar on your chest or abdomen that I have? Hey, did you have to go into the hospital for this procedure? And once they realize that everybody else sort of shares that common experience, it's old news. And so 24 hours later, they're not talking about it anymore. They suddenly have a new friend. Hey, you want to go fishing? Hey, you want to go on a canoe with me? And they're doing childhood things focused on childhood fun, which, again, has not always been the center of their life. They've moved from appointment to appointment, from hospital visit to hospital visit, from medication dose to medication dose. And finally, they're getting an opportunity to just be a carefree kid.
Can you share with us the stories of two of these campers?
I could share with you the stories of hundreds of these campers, but sure, I'll pick out a couple. Last summer, we had a sickle cell anemia camp, and we brought kids from Detroit. We brought kids from Chicago. And many of these kids had never been in the woods before, never been up close to a lake before, never caught a fish before. And one of our campers, call him Jay, really thrived in this environment. And we captured him on video a little bit, and you can catch those on our website. And he just articulates that while he has sickle cell disease does not have him. And he said, I came to this camp, and there's universal love. There's universal support. There's universal fun. And for the first time, he just felt empowered to really kick the disease to the curb and be a kid and show everyone what he could do. And I think that that's where, like your show, Anything is Possible, camp really shows these kids anything is possible. They've been constrained with perceived limitations that get imposed the day they get diagnosed. You now have this disease, and you can't do this. You can't do that. You can't eat this. And we bring them to camp and show them everything that they can do. And that's really what changes their lives and opens it up. We just had a fundraising event out at camp in June and had one of our first-time campers from last year come back and speak. And she was 14 at the time when her heart began to fail. And suddenly she found herself in the hospital, hooked up to medications 24 hours a day, carrying a pump around with her everywhere she goes. And eventually she's going to need a heart transplant. And so her world got turned upside down as a teenager. And she came to camp really not knowing what to expect and found out that everyone else at camp had a similar story and didn't make her unique and just really gave her the empowerment and the confidence to live with this condition she'd suddenly come down with and really to thrive. She went back to school a different person. She became close friends with one of the other campers who unfortunately was hospitalized, received a heart transplant, and after camp, had some complications, and they were in the hospital at the same time visiting each other, and unfortunately, he passed away recently, and it just devastated her to know that that mortality is real, and yet it also empowered her to know that she was going to make the most of her life and take these new skills forward.
We've been blessed to actually have two of your former campers as guests on the shows. First, Laura Jackson, when she was 14, while trying out for a high school cheerleading unit, her neck was broken during a fall. The most dynamic, enthusiastic woman you're ever going to meet in your life. Talk about Laura Jackson.
She is so special. She's such an inspiration. You know, her situation is tragic. Again, at 14, her whole life ahead of her, and in one tragic moment, everything changed. And her attitude is so strong. Her determination is so evident, and she has risen beyond that situation and has gone to college, has gotten her master's degree, has been a spokesperson for the stem cell movement in this country and in support of research, and certainly believes that camp played a pivotal role in reversing her attitude shortly after her accident. When she said she wanted, you know, when her caregivers talked about going to camp, she didn't think she could go to camp. Her parents certainly didn't think she could go to camp, but she did. And it was at camp that she rode a horse and that she climbed up in a treehouse and did other normal things that really gave her hope for the future and determination to make the most of it. And you would never know that she treats this as bad luck, and really has taken that positive attitude forward. And every time I see her, I'm inspired.
The second camper, Tommy Shoemaker, born in December of 2000 with hypoplastic left heart syndrome. He had his first open heart surgery at 7 days old, the second at 5 months, the third at 21 months, the fourth at age three, and the fifth almost age five. Then the heart started to fail, and he got a new heart transplant on June 3rd, 2009, from a young girl, Audrey, who had just died in northern Minnesota. Talk about Tommy Shoemaker.
I mean, as we've said multiple times in our conversation here, each of these kids is special, and they all have a story. And Tommy's another inspiring young man. He's been coming to transplant camp since shortly after his heart transplant. And I remember talking to his mother before he came to camp about, is this really safe? Is this the place he should be? And of course, the answer is absolutely. We make it safe. We give these kids the opportunity to soar at camp. And Tommy got an opportunity to meet his donor family in Minnesota. And he'd met Brandon Inge in the hospital, as Brandon was making hospital visits to visit the kids that were there. He saw Brandon on the field when his donor family and his family were at the baseball game, and he yelled to him, and Brandon saw him and invited him down on the field, and at the end of pregame warm-up, signed a baseball and gave it to him. And Tommy said thank you, and then he gave it back to him and said, could you write another note on this baseball that says, thanks for Tommy's heart? And that 10-year-old took that baseball and gave it to Audrey's mother, who had made the difficult decision to donate her organs that gave Tommy that second chance at life with that heart transplant. And Tommy just came to camp last week. We had our first ever teen camp for 16 and 17-year-olds. Normally, they age out and they're too old to come to camp. And we gave those teenagers an opportunity to stand up and be leaders. And Tommy was right at the front of the group. And again, just another really special story of how I believe that camp has helped change these kids' lives and just given them confidence that they would not have ordinarily have had.
Here's Mark Blackwell sharing with us the letter that 10-year-old Tommy Shoemaker wrote to the donor family.
Dear donor family, my name is Tommy. I'm the one who got a new heart from your loved one. When I had my old heart, I missed the end of first grade, and I missed all of second grade. Now I'm in third grade, and I'm going to school every single day. I felt really sick all the time, and now I feel so much better. It's hard for me to know what to say to you, but I want you to know how sorry I am for your loss. I'm praying for you every day and every night. The gift you gave let me have another chance at life. Your family is special to me. Love, Tommy.
Tommy Shoemaker was 10 years old when he wrote that letter. Today he's 16. And I'm Jack Rasool, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasool. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Doug Armstrong, and I quote him now, the hospital cures, the camp heals.
You know, we are so blessed to live in a technologically advanced society driven by research, driven by equipment, driven by training that our medical care is second to none in the world. And so many childhood diseases that would have been universally fatal as little as 25, 30 years ago in the case of organ transplantation have now successfully been treated through modern medicine. And I think that the hospitals and clinicians do an amazing job of curing these kids, getting them out of the hospital and back home again very quickly, and that there's not always the social support system to sort of deal with this journey that the kids and their families have been taken down. And that's where I believe that camp becomes that healing bridge that takes this crazy, abnormal experience that these families and kids have been through and gives them a way to normalize it, gives them an audience with which to share stories, provide coping, and really reset expectations for what's next. And by removing those barriers and showing them glimpses of the future and what is possible at camp, really opening up the rest of their lives for them to realize, as Jay Lovett said, I'm not going to let the disease have me. I may have the disease, but I'm not going to let it have me. And that's where I think that what camp does is absolutely important and magical.
All right, we've talked a lot about the campers. Talk to us about the campers' brothers and sisters, their siblings.
You know, they're often the forgotten part of the equation. As you can imagine, when a child is sick, everything gets dropped and all the attention and focus turns to life safety for that child. And that means that the other children in the house may take a backseat and may not get the same attention they would have if that situation were different. We're doing a sibling camp this week at North Star Reach for the first time, which is an opportunity to bring those brothers and sisters to camp without their sibling who's affected. It leaves the parents some time to spend time with that child alone and gives the siblings an opportunity to feel special and come in and experience the same camp environment that their brother or sister did when they came to camp.
If you want to learn more, www.northstarreach.org. North Star Reach is a member of Serious Fun Children's Network, which was started in 1988 by a gentleman. It's now served over 1 million campers. Who was that gentleman?
Paul Newman. What a special guy. You know, and it is generational as to how people frame Paul Newman, whether they know him as the voice of Doc Hudson in the Cars movie, whether they are familiar and have enjoyed any of his food products through Newman's Own Foods, or whether they remember all the movies that he starred in, or even the cars that he raced as a race car driver. He can't really explain why he thought camp was a good idea. He just decided to find a way to give back after he founded the food company and used those proceeds to do some good and decided to start the first camp. And it started a movement. And as we were going down this pathway of wanting to create a camp, I discovered the network and all of the advantages that came with affiliating with a group that had been doing exactly what we wanted to do for the last 25 years and sharing best practices, visiting their camps, and really learning from their experiences were so helpful and so informative as we developed our local project.
So 30 years ago, Paul Newman decided he imagined a place where children living with serious illness could raise a little hell. 30 years later, over 1 million such campers have experienced that. And 35 years later, after he started the Newman Products, they have given over $100 million to charitable causes. Another great couple, Jake and Jackie Long.
Absolutely. Jake is an icon for within the Michigan football program. Had great success at Michigan, drafted right out of college, had success in the NFL, and learned about camp about 5-6 years ago. And he came and toured the property when old buildings were there that were falling down. The roads were overgrown, and I had a big dream to share. And both Jake and Jackie listened to that dream. They met Laura Jackson. They heard about camp and committed right then and there and said, we're in. We're all in, and we want to help make this happen. And they have been big donors. They've been big supporters. They've helped to host our annual fundraising event. They've recruited others to get involved. And now that Jake has recently retired, we're working to get both of them to come to camp to volunteer next summer. In Michigan, summer camp is ubiquitous with growing up, kind of a rite of passage. And so we're so fortunate that people can recognize and understand the value that camp offers or has offered to their kids or to them or their lives. And when they learn that there are kids that couldn't go to camp without North Star Reach, they're lining up to get involved.
The late, great Robert Schuller had the Possibility Thinker's Creed, Crystal Cathedral, Garden Grove, California. It went like this. When faced with a mountain, I won't quit. I'll climb over the mountain. I'll go around the mountain. I'll go through the mountain. I'll tunnel underneath the mountain. And Doug, that's how you live your life.
I think that's quite appropriate. It's similar to the professor out east who gave the last lecture and said, the reason stone walls are built is to make sure that only the people that really want to get over, under, or around, or through them do that. And every time I was given a no answer or let down more gently as we walked the path to this project, it just made me more determined to find a way over, under, around, or through the wall.
Doug Armstrong, you and your team keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.